I'm replacing Bermuchan this morning. Bermuchan is there. I shouldn't be replacing you. Well, he had to stay home to take care of a family member. So he requested that we replace him. Sorry, Muchan, I cannot replace you 100% because I'm not you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Father, we ask you this morning to bless all the saints. Amen. And to bless every one of us for your glory's sake, that your will be done on earth.
Amen.
We want to reconsecrate ourselves to you this morning.
Amen.
And may the Spirit speak to the churches and to all of us.
Amen.
And give us truly ears to hear what you're speaking.
Amen.
Pray that you would grant all of us spirit of wisdom, revelation, understanding.
Amen.
Especially the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We commit this time to you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I wish Muchan were here instead of me. Muchan, oh, she is gone. Yeah. Well, I think Muchan's burden for this morning is about the judgment of God. Because actually in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, judgment is very, very serious. The end of this world, you can see the judgment. Right. And it's not only in the book of Revelation. Peter in chapter 3 tells us that at the end of this age, everything will be burned up. Nothing is going to remain. Turn to ashes because of judgment. Actually, the Bible tells us about many different judgments that God has already done in the past. In Genesis chapter 1 already. In the beginning, God created everything so wonderful. And God did not create a chaos, definitely. Would you create a chaos? If you're going to create something in your home, what would you do? He would design it in a wonderful way, right? So our God, who is such a great and wonderful God, thank you, brother, thank you. He told Job in Job chapter 38, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?" And God even measured this whole earth that he was creating. He laid a foundation. Can you imagine? Is foundation chaos? No, BJ, you're an architect. If you're going to build a building, what are you going to do? Build a chaos first? No, nobody would do that. You will not do that. No. God did not create a chaos and tohu bohu, it says there in Hebrews, meaning to say it's chaotic. And darkness covered the face of the earth. And the whole earth was covered with water. You think God will create such an earth? Would you? Although you and I, we're not so wise as God, we will not create that. How about you, Rebecca? No. No, God did not. But what happened? The earth became a chaos, darkness. Darkness in the Bible, something negative. It talks about God's judgment. And remember, how did God judge Noah's time? With flood. And so the earth, in Genesis chapter 2, something terrible happened. Right. And the Hebrew word tohu bohu described the situation after judgment, just like Europe. Before the Second World War, it was beautiful, wonderful. But after the World War, it was chaotic. Everything was destroyed. And Isaiah 55 says, God did not create the world as tohu and bohu. Definitely not, but to be inhabited. So what happened? Because God gave the pre-Adamic world to the archangel at that time, Lucifer, to rule over the pre-Adamic world, but he fell. He wanted to be like God. Terrible. Terrible. Because he was created wise, beautiful, just like what Isaiah 14 says in Ezekiel 28, full of wisdom, beautiful. So he became proud, so don't be proud today. If you become proud, you'll be like the devil. That was his sickness. Pride took over, and he wanted to become like the Most High God. Terrible. Right? Terrible. So judgment came, and God destroyed everything. In that ancient time. Right. So in the beginning, God created a wonderful thing. And the angels were all rejoicing. How can the angel rejoice if God created a chaos? But they were all rejoicing. Right. And because God created the angels first, so God appointed the archangel to rule. That's why in the New Testament the Lord called Satan, what? The ruler of this world. When did he become the ruler of this world? And he even called him the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. Right. So, there are so many indications in the Bible tells us that judgment already started. Even before God came to renovate the earth in 6 days. So there was judgment, and judgment was terrible. So God created Adam and Eve, man. Praise the Lord. Of course, he renovated the earth in 6 days. And what did God tell Adam after he created man in a wonderful way according to his image, in his likeness? He told him to have dominion, to rule over all of his creation. Isn't that wonderful? So you think the devil is happy to hear that? He messed it up. And now God created mankind, to take over. To take over. You were made to rule with the Lord together. This is why, at the end in the book of Revelation, why did he save us and redeem us from our sins? Why? To make us kings and priests, a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on this earth. Is that good news for the devil? No. This is why John wrote, the whole world today lies in the hands of the wicked one. And he told the church in Pergamos, you moved over to the world where Satan's throne is. All of these are indication of what happened in the past. Although God didn't write a chapter or a book concerning what happened in those days. But there are so many indications. And this is why there is a conflict in this world today, a real conflict. And we are the object of this warfare. Who wins? Mankind. That's very important. How about you as an individual? Who wins over you? The flesh? The enemy? Satan sowed his sinful nature into our flesh, right, to ruin mankind. Right. I'm sharing this to all of you to show you that there's a warfare going on. It's not a simple warfare. It's not a nuclear warfare. Give you another example in the book of Job. God held a conference. And all the sons of God were there, the angels, not the human being, because the angels in the ancient days were called the sons of God. They were created by God. And Satan came. Satan also came. Then God asked Satan in the book of Job, chapter 2, where did you come from? Satan says, well, I was going to and fro, just like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And God challenged him. Well, since you're going to and fro, have you ever noticed my servant Job? Of course Satan noticed. Immediately Satan blasphemed God. Of course he is faithful to you. He loves you. He is faithful because you gave him everything that he needs. Immediately Satan spoke back to God. So what did God say? Okay. Take away everything that he has. Accept his life and see if he will turn against me. Well, that was a challenge from God. What if God takes away, or the enemy takes away, all that you have? What are you going to do? Blame God? I think every one of us will blame God, right? Why did you do this to me? So God took the challenge, right? And Satan really took away everything and gave Job a lot of troubles, physical problems, right? Boils and everything. And what happened to you if you become sick? Will you still praise God? No? Right? You will pray, Lord, heal me. And then after 3 months, he still didn't heal you. What are you going to do? So who won the war at the very end? God. How? Because Job stood firm for God. He had 4 friends, 3 older ones and 1 younger one. And they all tried to comfort him and try to give him so many reasons why it happened and this and that, right? You know, God was not happy with the counseling of the 3 friends. So don't be a counselor. When somebody's in trouble and you try to counsel, and all your counsel is not a help. Better just pray for the person. Don't try to be a great counselor to give advice. Are you a good advisor? If somebody had a problem coming to you, oh, you had 12 different good advice. Hey, Sharon, do you have good advice? What about you, John? Instead of praying, we like to give advice. You know, God was angry with those three, but never the young ones, because the young one was more reasonable than the old ones. So, because the older ones always thought they are very wise and try to give advice. Wait, how about you, Rebecca? You like to give advice? No. Yeah. So God was going to deal with these three ones. I don't like to say too strongly, but God wanted to get rid of them. But Job interceded for them. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Right. So you can see that the whole warfare, the object of that warfare is who gain you. God or Satan? It's a challenge. It is a challenge. This is why we talk about being faithful. But let me go back to the matter of judgment. So the first judgment was the judgment of the ancient world, pre-Adamic world. The second judgment was the time of Noah. Because again, Satan did something to ruin the world. If you, I don't like to recommend the book of Enoch. Enoch. I don't mean your son, Enoch. He didn't write a book. No, he's too young to write one. Enoch wrote a book because Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. And he lived there during the time when the sons of God, the angels, came down and joined with the daughters of men and created Nephilim, giants. And the whole world at that time was fallen, evil, lawless. Terrible time. So God has to again come and judge the world in those days. Don't think God will just let it go on. No. No. And God saved only one family. No. Because Noah was righteous before the eyes of God. He found favor before God. Can you imagine? The whole world was fallen during his time. And only Noah and Methuselah, of course. Methuselah lived 969 years. The oldest man that lived on this planet. Because God told Enoch that a flood is coming. That's why Enoch walked with God 300 years to walk with God. So I hope your son will learn to walk with God. Not 300 years, maybe a couple of years before the Lord comes back. Enoch walked with God. But God already told Enoch, judgment is coming. So, if I were Enoch, I would ask God, and would you? what would be your question to God? Huh?
When
is it coming? Yeah. Of course I will ask God, when? What did God tell him? The day when your son died, it will come. And this is exactly what the name Methuselah means. So when is his son going to die? Nobody knows. But the day when he dies, the first drop of water will fall down from the rain. And sure enough, at the time of Noah, when Noah entered the ark with all the animals, and the Lord closed the door, the rain came down, the first rain, and Methuselah passed away. You can know that. One, many years ago, I told a brother in Singapore about this point. You know, that dear brother went back to the scriptures and counted all the years of those generations. And he verified exactly at the day when Noah entered into the ark. Methuselah died and the rain came down. You better believe that the Bible is the word of God. Judgment came. Praise the Lord. It's the judgment. And Peter mentioned that in 1 Peter chapter 3. Yeah. And now then Peter says, the world that now is, that came out of the water, not referring to Genesis 2 only, but refer to the time of Noah. It's reserved for judgment. So that means there is going to be judgment again, and this time this judgment is going to be worldwide, a terrible judgment. But you have to remember, at the time of Noah, God promised Noah, I'm not going to destroy mankind and everything absolutely again by water, by the flood. So what did God confirm as a promise?
A rainbow.
A rainbow. A rainbow. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 4, the throne of God's judgment. By the way, in the book of Revelation, you can see there are four main visions. The first vision was the golden lampstand with the Son of Man walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. That is chapter 1. And the second vision is in chapter 4, the vision of the throne of God's judgment. And the third vision, again, it's a judgment. It's Revelation chapter 17, the judgment of Babylon. And the last positive, wonderful vision after the judgment is in Revelation chapter 21, the vision of the new heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city. You know, in these four visions in the book of Revelation, each time it was mentioned that John was in the Spirit. If you don't believe me, you can read it yourself. Chapter 1, he says, I was in spirit. Right? And I turned to see the voice. Not just to hear, but he turned to see who is speaking to me like that. And he saw the Son of Man walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. That was a vision in chapter 1. And then in chapter 4, again, God took him in spirit to the heavens. And heaven was open to him, and he saw the throne of God. So let's go to chapter 4 now, to Muchang's burden. Okay, now I come to Muqiang's burden. Yeah, Muqiang has burden to share concerning judgment in the book of Revelation. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Yeah, verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So I was in spirit. So you better be in spirit if you want to see visions of the Lord. Okay? Be in spirit. Yeah. Because the Lord was taking him up to heaven. The door was open in heaven. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. Wonderful appearance of a precious jasper and sardius. Jasper is a stone that comes with different colors. Wonderful. Sardius is red in appearance because our God is our Redeemer. He wants to redeem the whole world for himself. And then there was a rainbow. No, that's why I asked you about the rainbow. What is the meaning of the rainbow? It is God's promise not to destroy everything that he created. So there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. What color is emerald? Green. What does green mean? Life. Take a look across the street. What color do you see? What color do you see? Green. What does it mean? Full of life there. Look at that. God wants to preserve life because life is the most important thing in the planet, on this planet. You cannot find any green thing in the moon or in Mars or somewhere up there in some of the planet. Therefore, brown, dark color, right? But this earth is full of life. All kinds of life. Living things, so green. The green planet. So praise the Lord. And around the throne are 24 thrones, which are the thrones of the angelic elders. 24, number 24 is a number of the angels. Our number is number 12. So how many tribes in the nation of Israel? 12 tribes. How many apostles did the Lord choose? 12. Or what about the foundation of the New Jerusalem? 12. It's all number 12. Number 12 is the complete number referring to God's people. But the angels is number 24. We are not number 24. Which number would you like to be? Part of which number? 12. I hope you are not dreaming of becoming an angel. Yeah. So now, to make the long story short, that throne is the throne of judgment. But, and in front of the throne, and this is important for me to mention it to you, was the sea of glass. What is that sea of glass? Can you jump into a sea that is of glass? A sea of glass? Right? Sarah, when you go to swim, you swim in a swimming pool of glass? Never. Maybe you can ice skate or something like that. But it's a sea of glass. And if you read on in Revelation chapter 15, the sea of glass, you can see now beneath is a fire, mingled with fire. So eventually the sea of glass will become the lake of fire. Because after judgment, God will throw everything into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is not in another planet, or you have to transport all this to another planet to throw it there. No, it's very convenient. After judgment, that's it. Garbage can is right there. Garbage disposal. Sea of glass becomes the lake of fire. God is so wonderful. So this is a judgment. But there is a very important point. What was God waiting for? You think the world is not ripe for judgment? There's so many terrible things. And now, especially in our time, you have Sodom and Gomorrah. Goodness. The Lord says the day of his coming would be like the days of Noah. So evil at that time, right? You have all these satanic worshippers. You have the globalists, right? They're all satanic worshippers, Satan worshippers. So wasn't the judgment ready? And then Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't wait to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Right away, fire came down and less than a few minutes, everything was burned up without warning. Now, in Revelation, what was God waiting for? Why didn't he judge right there and then in chapter 4, you tell me? Because he was waiting for someone who is worthy to take that small book in his hand with seven seals concerning God's judgment. He is waiting for someone who is worthy to take that book. So let's go to chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open a scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven, or on earth, or under the earth, hey, it's not just the angelic being above in the heavens, not just us on the earth, but how about under the earth? What about in Hades? What about those who died? What about those who are in the bottomless pit? Right. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open a scroll and to look at it. Not even to look at it. So I wept much. John, the apostle, the faithful apostle, was weeping. He was weeping. Because he realized the trouble already during his time, it was so terrible already. What the Roman emperors and the empire was doing, it was terrible. If you know history, you can see that during that time, it was already evil, terrible. Yeah. So John wept, because no one was found worthy to open and read, not only to read, but to look at it, and then to execute it. Because if you can't open it, you cannot execute. It's a book of judgment. Yeah, but one of the elders of the angels, okay, not the elders here on this earth, one of the elders came to me and said, "Do not weep. Don't weep." Neither did he say rejoice. Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Wonderful. Who is it? You? Your son Jasper? No. Who do you think is the worthy one? Huh? Any one of us here worthy? No. Who thinks he is worthy? No one was worthy. But only one. Now the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. He overcame. He overcame when he was on this earth. He overcame Satan, all the demons, and all the attacks from the enemy, religion, men, whatever. Right? Even he overcame death. Yeah. Right. He has prevailed, he overcame, victorious, to open the scroll. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, these are the cherubims, and in the midst of the elders among the angels, stood who? A lamb. But he is not the same lamb anymore as the lamb in the Gospels. He's now a lion. What happened? The lamb became a lion. What happened? Okay. Good. The lamb became a lion. Lion of the tribe of Judah. How about that? Do you know the Lord as a lamb only? In John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But in the book of Revelation, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Which do you want to see today? Depends on where you are. Depends on where you are. But we need to see both. We need to know that wonderful redemptive lamb who was silent before Pontius Pilate, a lamb led to the slaughter. But this one here in the book of Revelation is not a lion led to the slaughter. He will slaughter you instead of the other way around. I look and behold, in the midst of the throne, a lamb as though it had been freshly slain. Not as though it has been slain, because the Lord was really slain. But the lamb should be so fresh. His death on the cross should be so fresh to you and not just a historical fact. No, just like what Paul wrote to the Galatians, that he portrayed Christ before their eyes as if he was crucified before their eyes. If Christ's death for you is just a historical fact, it will not have much effect in your life. Right. But now, this lamb has seven horns. Have you ever seen a lamb with seven horns? Oh, it seems number seven is a very good number in the book of Revelation, but I won't go into that. And seven eyes. Wow. Seven eyes. How many eyes do you have? Two. Right. But this wonderful lamb has seven. 7 means it is a complete number to carry out God's plan. Like in Genesis chapter 1, you have 7 days. Why God used 7 days and not 1 day or 7 minutes? Right, 7 eyes. That means he can see everything. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. And this 7 eyes are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So whatever is happening on this earth today, you think the Lord doesn't see it? The 7 spirits are the 7 eyes sent to all the earth, even to Korea. Don't think he doesn't see what's happening in Korea. In the whole earth, the 7 spirits are there before the throne of God, and also they are the 7 eyes of the Lamb, and so you can see the triune God is just one God, one living God. Right. So, sent into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on a throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Because at this time, the saints were already raptured to the throne. Okay, and they sang a new song. Verse 12, right? Let's just jump to verse 12. Right. Let's go to verse 9 and 10. That's better, yeah. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." Praise the Lord. You need to know Christ as the one who is worthy to judge, because God has committed all judgment into his hand. Remember what the Lord says, right? About himself in the Gospel of John. God has put all the judgment into his hand. So here it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and ye have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." Well, I'm so glad to see so many different tribes, tongues, and nations. You have Korean, you have some from Africa, you have some from Europe, you have some from Vietnam, you have some from India. It's wonderful. Of course, some local people, some from Bangkok. It's wonderful. Right? And has what? Made us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests to our God, and we, or they, shall reign on the earth. It should be they, not we. Change that word according to the Greek. And they, that means this one that are redeemed, they will reign on the earth with Christ. Now, at the very end of this Bible, praise the Lord, God is using us to recover his kingdom, take it out of this hand of Satan. Today it is still in his hand. That's why he's afraid of us, because we are going to take the kingdom, snatch it out of the hands of the evil one, and we will replace him to rule. But it depends whether you are qualified or not. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Right? And then, beginning in chapter 6, when the Lamb opened the seals, you have the judgment of the world. So beginning in chapter 6, you have the opening of one seal after another, And when a sixth seal is open, that is, very soon it's going to be opened. Let us just quickly go to chapter 6, right? Seal 1 to 5 is already opened. But now, seal number 6 is going to be opened. And when he opened the sixth seal, right? Let's go to verse 12. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Look at the earthquake today, worldwide, increasing everywhere. Right. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And this terrible globalist will say, oh, that's climate change. So stupid. Who can change the climate? If it indeed is a climate change, they? Right. It is already a warning to us. Right. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. How about that? Today it's just hail falling down, right? It's not that deadly. What about if a star falls down? And not really a star, but stars falling down. How about that? What will happen to Toronto? It will be a catastrophic. What will happen to Vancouver? What will happen to Los Angeles? What's going to happen to Chicago, to New York, to Minneapolis, to Seattle, and to all these places, and to the whole world even at that time? Stars falling down. Do you like that? Would you be watching the stars, falling stars? No, today you're watching shooting stars. That's okay, it's not very dangerous. But if these stars fall down to this earth, don't stand there and look up. As the fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Hard to imagine. Unimaginable. I cannot imagine that. Can you move mountain? Rocky Mountains in Vancouver? Can you imagine it moves into Vancouver? Every mountain moves. And every island. Oh, yeah, Victoria Island. Above that. Yep. Every island moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, slaves, and every free man hid themselves in the caves. How many caves are there, can you find, to hide? You know of any cave in Vancouver to hide?
They have bunkers.
Bunkers! Oh, a cave is much stronger than a bunker, especially when things are happening in those days. And even they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So, You think the Lord wrote this to scare you? No, because His purpose is not to judge you. He loves you. He has no desire to judge you. That's why He wants to take you up. But if you don't want to, you want to live like people in this world, you like to be in the flesh, you like to enjoy this world. Exactly what John said in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world. Because if you do, you have to realize this world and everything in it is going to be judged. So you still love the world? You sure? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, whatever you see, oh, I want that. Right? And you see that. Bring your little boy to a toy store. You say, I want this, I want that, this and that.
Even
in the grocery stores. So what is daddy going to do? To buy the whole toy store and grocery store, right? And the pride of life. The pride of life. Because every one of us think we are wonderful, we are capable, we are better than the other. Even sitting here, oh, I'm better than Mo. And Mo thinks, no way. You cannot even fix my car. And don't forget, I fix your car. Well, this is the pride of life. The wife thinks better, that she's better than the husband. And the husband says, no, I'm the head of the house, it's written. That's the pride of life. We don't realize we're fallen, we are nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So the pride of life. But the worst thing is this. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that is the worst thing. What can compare to the love of God? Right? Your son loves so many things, but can those things compare to you? Can they replace you? A little toy car. Are you happy if your son loves a toy car more than you? You wouldn't be happy. So John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is Satan's strategy, because if he takes you away from God, he has to replace God with something, right? Otherwise, you'll go back to God. So what is he going to replace God? If God is no longer your best love, your joy and everything, then Satan has to invent a lot of things. Religion, if you're seeking God, okay, he'll give you a replacement. If you love knowledge, yeah, he will give you the best universities, which is so corrupt today. Woke university. All the presidents have to step down. Don't think they are so great. They are greatly corrupted. Oh, you like sports? Oh, he has all kinds of sports for you. You like swimming? There's a whole big ocean for you to swim. You like football? Oh yeah, just like our brother shared, is rooting for your team, right? And you end up going home so sad and couldn't sleep because your team lost. But you don't care for your salvation. If you are lost, then that would be the worst thing. If the time of rapture comes and you stayed here, that is a great loss for you. What can replace God? Everything's going to be judged. Yeah. Whatever you like. You like music? Oh, you have all kinds. You have the best classical music to all the terrible rock music. Like rocks hitting your head. You become so stupid after you listen to rock, and you're rock and roll. You're rolling and you're rocking. It is so sad. I don't know why people love those kind of noise. I don't call them music, they're noise. Right? Maybe you say, oh no, John, you're too old. Maybe. Right. Maybe. But he replaced God with all kinds of enjoyment, because God is the best enjoyment. Amen. He's the joy of our life. Right. If you don't have God, you have nothing. Your enjoyment is short-lived. After you saw a movie, it's over. Right? Oh, it's a good movie. The jet, zoom, 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 the jet. After that, no more. You're not even writing it. Nothing can replace God. But the joy of loving the Lord remains within us. Right, Mercy? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. So, Satan is very subtle to deceive the whole world. Don't be deceived. Yeah. Even religion is terrible. Look at Judaism when the Lord came. Judaism replaced the living God. It's even the most scriptural religion it can replace God. God is a living God. You just go for 10 years vacation, just live an autobiography book to your children, and that's good enough. If they want to know their dad, just open the book and read a book about Vince. And that will convince them. That subtle evil one replaces God to deceive mankind. Right. To deceive mankind. And we are so foolish, we are deceived by him. The deceiver of the whole world. That's why there's judgment. But don't think for us there's no judgment. Our judgment is in chapters 1 to 3. But it is the judgment from the great heavenly high priest who loves the church. And it is not his judgment, it is his discipline. He's warning us. He tells us what he hates in the church, what he dislikes in the church. He hates Nicolaitan, Balaam, Jezebel. And all these things, we have to know. Amen. And Peter tells us judgment begins in the house of God. But I've seen so many churches without judgment. They can do so many terrible things and nothing happened. in the world, I know it's time, but I'll shorten the second meeting. Yeah. But this is important, right? I have to justify for Muchang's sake. Otherwise, Muchang will tell me, you didn't do a good job. But there is judgment. Brothers, there is judgment. But for us, it is the discipline. This is why in the last epistles, the Lord says, whom I loved, I chastened. So if you love your children, chasten them in love, not because you're mad and angry. Right? Just like a father to the children in Hebrews chapter 12. We all need the chastening of the Lord. I do. We all do. Because we are not perfected yet. Yeah. So, you're right, time is up. Right. But our judgment is in Revelation chapter 1 to 3. But it is the judgment and chastisement and discipline out of God's love to save us. But the judgment beginning in chapter 4 to the end is the wrath of God. The great day of God's wrath. It's not love, it's wrath. So, I hope the Word of God will be written in our hearts. Amen. Yeah. So, I'm sorry to keep you sitting for so long. Now John will relieve you.